You know, when Pastor Crocker was away for a month, I did a series of four messages on the seven churches of the Revelation, but I can only do four. Okay? And then my wife comes and tells me, hey, you should finish all seven of them, you know. Then, yeah, as I ponder over it, I think the Spirit does affirm that within my heart. So I'm going to continue with the series on the churches of the Revelation, not because my wife tells me so, but because the Spirit of the Lord tells me so. Our text is taken from Revelation chapter 2 verses 8 to 11. Revelation chapter 2 verses 8 to 11. Let us read this responsively and I shall begin. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Together, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The previous church Jesus spoke to, it was the church of Ephesus. That Christ blamed it for something. He had this against her, that she had left her first love, and he bids her repent and do the first works. If not, he will come quickly and remove the candlestick out of its place. Ephesus was once one of the most flourishing churches of Asia Minor, but Jesus did come quickly and he removed the candlestick. It is now only a heap of ruins. When a traveler is there, he goes over ancient archways and heaps of stones, and the yellow corn is seen growing where Ephesus once stood. So may God do with us. He may take away our candlestick. We have a number of independent Baptist churches right now, but God may leave us a heap of ruins. With perhaps only one former member to tell us that the candlestick has been taken away. So it was with Ephesus, but it is very different with Smyrna. Smyrna is still one of the most flourishing towns of Asia Minor, now known as Izmir, the Turkish rendering of the same name. It has 2,947,000 inhabitants. These things saith the first and the last. And again, Jesus says of himself here, he was dead. Where am I now? I didn't put that in, is it? Oh, I skipped two pages. Okay. Notice, Christ does not blame her for one thing. What? Were the Christians of Smyrna so holy that even the eye of Christ did not see any fault? Well, we can get no comfort from that. For if Jesus were to send us a letter, it would be full of blame. But no, the Christians of Smyrna were just what Christians are now. But Christ washed them in his own blood and clothed their naked souls in his righteousness. And therefore he saw them all fair. This message to Smyrna reminds me of the epistle to the Philippians. It is all kindness, all love. So is this message of Christ to the Christians in Smyrna. It is all mercy, peace, gentleness, kindness, and love. But let's now see the message that was sent to Smyrna. And notice Roman numeral 1. The character that Christ takes. The character that Christ takes. We are talking about the character Christ takes to himself here. He takes different characters in all the messages to the seven churches. And it's very beautiful to remark that he takes a character which suits the case of each of them. To the church of Ephesus, he says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, that he is he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, showing them that he could remove the candlestick when he pleased. And here, in verse 8, he takes his encouraging character. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Notice in Revelation chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, what John says. When Jesus revealed to him at Patmos, when his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace. John says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And Jesus said unto him in the same verse, fear not. Just what he used to say upon the earth. You remember he said to his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, be not afraid. And here, when John fainted, Jesus encouraged him by saying the very same words, fear not. And when on earth he used to stretch out his right hand, so John says he did to him. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. And Jesus says here in verse 8, these things saith the first and the last. So, letter A, he is the first and the last. He is the first and the last. This may be one of the most significant names or titles ever given to the Savior. It's important to recognize that it is mentioned four times in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 8. And chapter 22, verse 13. The Lord possibly desired to emphasize that He was the complete one, that nothing existed before Him, and nothing supersedes Him in time, and in every matter of eternal verity, that He will have the final word. The Bible begins with God. In the beginning, God, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and ends with Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. All roads within the scripture lead to the Savior. Number one, He was the first at creation, and He will be the last at it. He was the first at creation, and He will be the last at it. It is He that will gather everything together like a scroll. It is He who will gather everything together like a scroll. It is He who will make all things new. He says in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, I create new heavens and a new earth. Number two, He is the first in grace and He was the last at it. He is the first in grace and He was the last at it. He is the first in grace. It was He who carried on the plan of salvation. And He was the last at it. It was He who said in John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. He is the first at the work of grace in the soul. And He is the last at it. It is this that gives us hope. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. These things saith the first and the last. And again, Jesus says of Himself here, He was dead and is alive. How encouraging is this character of Christ? Letter B, He was dead. He was dead. He has not still to die. It is all over. It is this that gives peace to an awakened soul, to know that Jesus was dead. Well then, Christians, You are quite safe. No wrath can come upon you. Every drop of God's wrath has fallen on His head. You have no more cause to fear it falling upon you than you have to fear a storm of thunder and lightning or an earthquake that happened more than 2,000 years ago. This gives great peace. But there's another thing that gives peace. Christ was dead, and let us see, He is alive again. He is alive again. He has risen and has been accepted and is now at the right hand of God. And we're at peace from this because we know that we shall be as pleasing and acceptable in the sight of the Father as Christ is. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Roman numeral 2. The situation that Christ sees. The situation that Christ sees. Let us see what Christ says of the church. They had two kinds of trouble. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Verse 9. Afflictions very often go together. One trial seldom comes alone. Perhaps sickness or bereavements and then poverty. But as putting the tree in the bitter waters made them sweet, so methinks it makes the bitter cup sweet, that there's so much sweetness in the cup that none of the bitter will be felt. Because Jesus says, I know. It is Christ that knows. He measures all your suffering. He will not give you too much or too little. And again, Christ says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. As mentioned in my sermon on the letter to the church of Philadelphia, these are likely those who think they have understood the message of the Old Testament, who claim to be the inheritors of the promise of Abraham, but have not combined that with faith in Jesus and His Word. And at the trial of Polycarp, bishop of the church of Smyrna, the unbelieving Jews joined with the pagans in condemning him to death. Another of the Christians' troubles, and the third one that Christ mentions here, is Satan, the devil. This is the worst of them all. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Verse 10. The church of Smyrna was very much tried, but it was the purest of them all. When gold is put into the fire, all its dross is taken away. So it was with the Smyrna Christians. Many of its members were burnt at the stake. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. This means that it would be limited in duration. And it is not that Satan is not as busy now, but he is sometimes a roaring lion and sometimes an angel of light. It is true we have not persecutions at present, for the devil right now is flattering men. Christians are mixed with the world, the chaff with wheat. Christ's people can hardly be distinguished from the world. Yet the world hates them as much as ever. Marvel not if the world hates you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 13. But the devil may come out again like the roaring lion seeking his prey. Our prisons may again be filled with Christians. But let us now see Roman numeral 3, the encouragements that Christ gives. The encouragements that Christ gives. He says in verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I had rather Christ would say that of me than all the wise men in the world. I had rather that Christ would say unto me, thou art rich, than all the world should say it. They are very apt to say of Christians, they are poor, but it's because they are blind. I have no doubt this word in the Bible is very little believed, but it is no less true. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? James chapter 2 verse 5. But do not mistake me. You will never get to heaven because you are poor. If you are not in Christ, you are miserably poor, and will be miserably poorer still. But be ye rich in faith, and ye shall be heirs of the kingdom. Again, Christ says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Verse 10. Oh, that is a sweet word. Fear none of them, the smallest or the greatest of them. If you stand on the seashore, you'll notice that sometimes after a very small wave, a very large one comes. So it is often with affliction. Christ sends a small trial first, then he may prepare you for a large one. But fear none of them. If you were to bear the burdens yourself, you would be overwhelmed. But take them to Jesus. Lay them all upon him, and then you will slip from under them, and you will have to bear nothing. I believe there's not one who is a Christian here, but who will have to suffer in some way or other. But fear none of them. Fear not tribulation and poverty. Fear not reproaches. Fear not persecution. Fear none of these things. And here is another of Christ's encouragements. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death. And are there two deaths? Yes. Have you ever been at a deathbed? Have you ever seen the eyes roll back, the lips quiver, and the hands grow cold and motionless? Have you ever seen the deathbed of an awakened sinner, or one who cries out, oh, for another day, oh, for another hour, oh, for another moment, of one who was obliged to die? Well then, that is but a shadow of the second death. When you are walking on the road, and when the sun causes you to see your figure, that is only the shadow. The substance is the real thing. So I believe that God intended the first death to be a type or shadow of the second death of the Christless soul. And if the first, the shadow, be so dreadful, what will the second death be? When it shall be eternally dying, but never dead. When you shall be wishing to die, but not able. When you see one ill with fever, he is anxious to get water, but he cannot swallow it. And this is but a type of the burning thirst of those who have died without Christ, when they shall ask for a drop of water to cool their parched tongue. But it's very different with the believer. Death is no death to him, for Christ has taken away its sting. It is to him an entrance into life, and then he shall not be hurt of the second death. It shall pass by, but shall not touch him. And again, Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What is meant by being faithful unto death? It is to be believing unto the end. To believe unto your dying hour. And then when the glorified body is given, Christ shall put on the crown. The character that Christ takes, the situation that Christ sees, and the encouragements that Christ gives. In particular, he says to the church of Smyrna, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." What about us at Heritage Baptist Church? Are you faithful unto death? Will you believe unto the end? Will you believe unto your dying hour? May it be so. May the Lord find us faithful. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, oftentimes sad, keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be? Where would the fight? But in the hardness God gives to you, chances of proving that you are true. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. God is your wisdom. God is your might. God's ever near you, guiding the right. He understands you, knows all you need. Trusting in Him, you'll surely succeed. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Let us press on then. Never despair. Live above feeling. Victory is there. Jesus can keep us so near to Him that nevermore our faith shall grow dim. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Let's pray.